Max Lucado tells the story of Artful Eddie, the mobster lawyer during the reign in Chicago of Al Capone. He says Artful Eddie lacked nothing. He was the slickest of the slick lawyers. He was one of the roars of the Roaring Twenties. A crony of Al Capone, he ran the gangster's dog tracks. He mastered the simple technique of fixing the race by overfeeding seven dogs and betting on the eighth. Wealth, status, style, Artful Eddie lacked nothing. Then why did he turn himself in? Why did he offer to squeal on Al Capone? What was his motive? Didn't Eddie know that the surefire consequences of ratting on the mob? He knew, but he'd made up his mind. But what did he have to gain? What could society give him that he didn't already have? He had power, money, prestige. So what was the hitch? Eddie revealed what that hitch was. It was his son. Eddie had spent his life with the despicable. He had smelled the stench of the underground long enough. For his son, he wanted something more. He wanted something different. He wanted to give his son a change and a chance. He wanted to give his son a name. And in order to give his son a name, he would have to clear his own name. And so Eddie was willing to take a risk so that his son could have a clean slate. Artful Eddie never saw his dream come true, because after Eddie squealed, the mob remembered, and two shotgun blasts silenced him forever. But was it worth it? Was it worth it? For his son it was. Artful Eddie's boy lived up to that sacrifice. He's one of the best-known names in the world. Who was he? If Artful Eddie had lived to see his son Butch grow up, he would have been proud. He would have been proud of his appointment to the Naval Academy at Annapolis. He would have been proud of his commission as a World War II Navy pilot. He would have been proud of his downing five bombers in the Pacific War in World War II and saving all the hundreds of lives on the aircraft carrier Lexington. He would have been proud of the Congressional Medal of Honor that Butch earned. His name was now cleared. And in Chicago, when you say the name O'Hare, people don't think of gangsters anymore. They think of aviation heroism. And that's what people think of when they fly into the airport that's named after the son of a gangster gone good, the son of Eddie O'Hare. A Gallup poll indicated that 51% of 13 to 17-year-olds don't have an adult role model that they look up to. Most of the other 49% name their parents rather than a sports figure or an entertainment star when they talk about the person that they want to be like. Young people need heroes. Young people need heroes to model after, and they'll look to their parents first. And if they don't find it there, they'll look elsewhere. But young people need heroes, and heroes are scarce today. And spiritual heroes are desperately needed. Life's real heroes are those who sacrifice of themselves so that others will benefit by it, just like Eddie O'Hare did in concern for his son. I'd like to share with you something this morning, and that is the marks of a spiritual hero. What are the marks of a spiritual hero? Well, if you turn with me to Acts chapter 20, beginning with verse 17, we see revealed the marks of a spiritual hero. There's several of them. Paul was finishing up his missionary journeys. He knew that he was on his way to Jerusalem, and he knew what was going to happen to him there. He knew that he was going to be captured and that prison and suffering was ahead of him. In that knowledge and awareness, he was concerned for the body of Christ. He was concerned for these churches that had been started. And so when he got to Miletus, he was concerned about the church at Ephesus, where he had spent 3 years building up that body. And he wanted to give some final encouragement. He wanted to give some final words to them before he went on to Jerusalem, knowing what was ahead of him. And so he sent to Ephesus, it says, to call the leaders to Miletus that he could speak to them. In Acts chapter 20, in verse 17, it says, from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. And let me share with you in the verses ahead the marks of a spiritual hero. Because our world is crying out and our youth are crying out for heroes. They need heroes. And they need spiritual heroes more than anything else. The marks of a spiritual hero. Number one, spiritual heroes are consistent Christians. Look at verse 18. And when they had come to him, he said to them, you know from the first day that I came into Asia in what manner I always lived among you. Paul is telling them, look back over my life. Look at the time that I spent with you for 3 years. Look at the time that I spent in the area. From the first moment that I came until right this very moment, how I've lived among you, how consistent my life was. What are we talking about but integrity? What is the most important part of integrity? Integrity is what you're like when nobody else is watching. It's easy to look right when you're out in the middle of a group of people. It's easy to look like a Christian when you're among Christians. But what do you look like and how do you act when you're by yourself or when you're away from those people? You see, that's integrity. Integrity is being the same at home and away. Integrity is being the same in church and out of church, everywhere you go. I used to travel a lot, particularly internationally, so I'd be gone for sometimes a couple of weeks at a time, spending weekends where there was no work going on and I was at the hotel and I had opportunity to go sightseeing and do different things. There's a lot of temptation that arises in those situations. Temptations to go places and to do things because, hey, I'm across the ocean. Nobody knows. Nobody would find out. But you know the thought that used to run through my mind all the time when those temptations came or when I found myself in a place where I shouldn't be as a Christian? The thought that would run through my mind was always this thought: what if I died here? What would they see? What would they find when they came to get my body? What if I died here? Don't go anywhere where you would not want to be found dead. Ask yourself the questions: would Jesus go here? Would Jesus do this? Would Jesus say this? Number two, spiritual heroes are faithful servants. Look at verse 19. Paul says, serving the Lord with all humility, with many tears and trials, which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews. Spiritual heroes are faithful servants. In Newsweek, November of 1990, as the war in the Gulf was heating up, the war in the Persian Gulf, there was an article that they published called Letters in the Sand. It was an article where many of the soldiers, the Marines, and different people who were over there wrote letters home to family and friends. There was one Marine, Corporal Preston Coffer, and this is what he wrote in the midst of his letter. He said, we're talking about Marines, not the Boy Scouts. We all joined the service knowing full well what might be expected of us. And then he closed the letter with that Marine motto, Semper Fi, always faithful. When we get into the Christian life, we know what we're getting into. We know why we're here, and we know what might be expected of us. We know the highest calling that might be made on our life, the highest calling of sacrifice, even to the point of death. Spiritual heroes are faithful servants. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2 says, now it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. We've been given a trust. We've been given a trust to serve Jesus Christ, to serve in the name of Jesus Christ, to preach and serve the gospel, required to be found faithful with that trust. Spiritual heroes will serve with all humility, putting aside their own pride. Spiritual heroes will serve with emotional tears of concern for the lost and for others. Spiritual heroes will serve in the testing of getting beaten up. Paul says, with many tears and trials which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews. While he was getting beat up by the ones that should have supported him, he continued to be faithful. Spiritual heroes are that way. They're faithful servants. Number three, spiritual heroes are diligent teachers. Look at verse 20. He says, how I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly and from house to house. I kept back nothing that was helpful. Nothing that was helpful. Spiritual heroes are diligent teachers, sharing the truth even when the truth hurts, when what has to be shared is painful. We're called as Christians to be good physicians of the soul, performing surgery and giving treatment to the soul, ministering the word of God faithfully. Galatians 6:9, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Last summer, when we tore down that barbecue pit out there, broke it all up, and finally got all of the bricks and the mortar and all the stuff out of there, there was a big hole, and we filled it up with dirt. And then someone came along and raked in some seed, grass seed, and we watered it. And for 5 or 6 weeks, I walked back and forth from my house to the church. I would look at it, and I would say, man, is there ever going to be any grass there? I know the seed is there because I saw it planted. I saw it raked in. I saw the water on it. The sun's come down on it. And then one day as I was walking from the house to the church, I happened to glance over, and what did I see? But hundreds, maybe thousands of little green blades sticking up through the ground. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Spiritual heroes are diligent teachers. Number four, spiritual heroes are willing evangelists. Look at verse 21. Testifying to Jews and also to Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation. Willing to let people know that God is a holy God, a God who requires holiness in his people. And he's ready always to punish and judge disobedience. But he's also a God of mercy. And out of his love for us, sent Jesus Christ to die on Calvary's cross, that the punishment that we deserve, Jesus as our substitute took that on the cross. so that the punishment that he paid was sufficient for us. And by faith, we were able to receive it as the payment for our own sin, as the payment for our own penalty. Spiritual heroes are willing evangelists, ready to testify to whoever needs to hear it. Those who are in church, who may have become familiar with church and are regular visitors, or even those who have come down the aisle and got baptized in some emotional response and never really got born again. Testifying to them, letting them hear the gospel enough times so that if they truly aren't saved, they'll know that they need to be. And to those that don't know Jesus Christ. Remember, I said on Thursday night that we are truly not evangelistic until we share the gospel. We're not evangelistic because we belong to an evangelical church. We're not evangelistic because we got saved. We're evangelistic when we share the gospel message with someone else and let them know what we received. Let them know what benefit it had in our lives. The U.S. Disaster Response Team is a group who are ready at a moment's notice to go to any type of natural disaster area in our nation and meet the needs of the people. With a moment's notice, they mobilize and get to that disaster site to rescue those who are in life-threatening situations. The slogan is, always ready so that others may live. Shouldn't that be our personal witnessing motto? Always ready to share the gospel message so that others may live, so that others may have eternal life. Spiritual heroes are trained and ready always to reach out to those who are without Christ so that they may live eternally. Number 5, spiritual heroes are spiritually sensitive. Look at verses 22 and 23. And see, now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulation await me. Paul had a personal word from the Holy Spirit that he was going to be in chains in the future, that prison was going to be part of the future of his ministry. When the disco craze hit the nation back in the mid-70s, Joanne and I took dance lessons and disco dancing lessons, and we started doing all that disco dancing, got into competitions, won awards. And you know, the thing that's interesting about dancing is that all that's necessary is the slightest touch, the slightest movement to control the movement of your partner. You can dance with one hand. You don't have to hold the other hand of the person. With his hand, either by his fingers to pull the person this way, or with the heel of his hand, push the person the other way. Just with the slightest touch, a person responds and can dance. In order for that partner to respond to that touch, though, that person has to be ready. One of the rules was that you don't dance, that you don't drink before you finish dancing, because it's dangerous, because you're not sensitive. Hearing the Holy Spirit's leadership demands no distractions. If you're going to hear the Holy Spirit speak to you, as Paul spoke and said, you're going to have this change in your life, there cannot be distractions. It has to be without distractions if you're going to hear it. I get up a lot of times early in the morning to watch the news on TV. And I like to get up early enough so that everybody else is still asleep. And I'll turn that to a volume that's very low so that only I can hear it in the room. And I can hear it just fine. Because as soon as one other person starts stirring in the house, I can't hear it anymore. If I want to hear it, I got to turn it up some. And the more people that are in there and moving around, the more louder and louder and louder volume there has to be. The same thing happens at the end of the day as well, when everybody's gone to sleep. All of a sudden, that volume that I was having difficulty hearing now is extremely loud, and I have to turn it back down. In our spiritual life, the Holy Spirit has no volume control. The Holy Spirit speaks in one consistent, quiet voice. That still small voice, the Bible says. In order for us to hear the Holy Spirit, we've got to get all the distractions out of the way so that it's just us in the presence of the Holy Spirit in order to hear that there's change ahead of us or whatever the direction is that God gives and tells. You hear people talk about that God told me this, and they use sentences, paragraphs like we speak to one another. That's because they've learned to get quiet before the Lord and to hear what he has to say through his word directly to their heart, however, through other people. And it's not a matter of turning up the Holy Spirit so that we can hear him speak to us. It's turning down all the distractions so that we can hear the voice as he speaks. Number 6, spiritual heroes are strong finishers. Look at verse 24. But none of these things move me. And here's the verse that was typoed in the bulletin. Nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Spiritual heroes are strong finishers. They're consistent long-distance runners. And then NCAA cross-country championship in Riverside, California, a couple of years ago, there were 128 runners. 123 of the 128 missed one of the turns. One runner, Mike Del Cabo, he stayed on course for this 10,000-meter race, and he began waving to the other runners for them to follow him to go the right way. only 4 other runners went the right way with him. The other 123 went the wrong way. After the race, in an interview, Del Cavo said that they thought it was funny that I didn't follow them and I went the right way. But you know what? He was the one that ran the race correctly. We're to run a good race for Jesus Christ and to reach the goal that he set before us. Rejoicing over those who follow us and ignoring those who laugh at us. Carl Lewis, after he won the gold medal last year in the long jump in the Olympics, after 20 years of athletics, he was interviewed, and the interviewer said, "Carl, you've been competing for 20 years. What is it that has made you so consistent? What's made you so successful over all those years?" Carl Lewis's response was interesting. He said, "Remembering that you have both wins and losses along the way." Strong finishers keep their focus on the finish line and don't worry about the wins and the losses. They're just part of the race. Number 7, spiritual heroes are without guilt. Look at verse 25. "And indeed now I know that you all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, will see my face no more. Therefore I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God." Spiritual heroes are without guilt. They have no blood on their hands for not sharing the gospel. Paul said, "Their blood is not on my hands. If it's on anybody's, it's on their own head." You know, there was a little girl who showed up at Bible school one morning, and her face was all dirty, her hands were all dirty. And the teacher said, "How in the world did you get so dirty on your way to Bible school so early in the morning?" She said, "As I was on my way," she said, "I ran into a friend of mine who was trying to blow up his wading pool. I decided to help him out. I worked with him and we, you know, finally got it all blown up. After it was blown up, I invited him to come to Bible school with me. And he said, 'No, I'd rather wade in my pool.' She promptly deflated the pool. I said, 'Why'd you do that?" And she said, "I pulled that stopper out of the air hole and let the air out so that pool would go down and he couldn't use it. If he didn't come to Bible school with me, I didn't want God to blame me for it." Have the priorities that we've made in our life and the priorities that we hold in our life and the activities that we engage in our life, have they led other people astray? Have they led other people and encouraged other people away from fulfilling their responsibility to fellowship and worship? Consider your own influence. Spiritual heroes are faithful to proclaim the gospel at home, at school, at work, in all social activities, and everywhere they are. Spiritual heroes are without guilt. Number 8, spiritual heroes are flock protectors. Look at verse 28. "Therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also, from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone, day and night, with tears." There's a time to be tough. There's a time to make sure that those that we love in the body, those around us, aren't being attacked and eaten by wolves. Because wolves will sneak in and wolves will rise up from right in the midst. There's many imposters in the body of Christ. Well, not in the body of Christ, but hanging around with the body of Christ. There's many imposters. There's those who come in and even get baptized. There are those who even get ordained, who are just imposters, who aren't truly part of the body. And they're the ones that end up saying, "Well, where does it say this in Scripture? Where does it say that?" Like the snake in the garden who said to Eve, "Has God indeed said?" The 2 Timothy 2:15, Paul says, "Be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Well, number 9, spiritual heroes are materially content. Look at verse 32. "So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. Yes, you yourselves know that these hands have provided for my necessity and for those who are with me. I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" Many Christians are never content. Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy 6:8, "And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content." If you have food to eat and you have clothing on your back, even if you don't have a house to live in, you got to live under a bridge. If you got food to eat and clothing to wear, you should be content. Everything after food and clothing is a special extra blessing from God. Now, if you take that view, as Paul told Timothy, "With food and clothing we shall therewith be content," then you will be grateful for everything you have and you will be content. Because you'll say, got to eat today, got clothes to wear today. Man, it's a good day. Everything's fine. May have to go find a bridge to sleep under because it's raining, but this is a good day. But you see, many believers grab for everything they can get, keeping all the best for ourselves and giving God only the leftovers. Kind of the way we feed a dog. We go out to the restaurant, we eat all the food, and we take all the little scraps, stick them in a doggy bag, and bring them back and feed the dog. And that's how we often treat God, with the things that He's blessed us. We enjoy them and wring them out, and then if we see anything is left, we throw it to God, not realizing that He's the one that gave it to us in the first place. Number 10, spiritual heroes are remembered affectionately. Look at verse 36. And when he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. And they all wept freely and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spoke, that they would see his face no more. And they accompanied him to the ship. And let me take you back, those of you who were there. I wasn't here, but you were there when Pastor Goff died. I mean, you can relate to what Paul was saying here. He knew that the end was coming. That final Sunday when he sang, and then he went into eternity to be with God that following Good Friday. That was the end, and it was a sad and sorrowful time. Well, this is the same thing that Paul is happening with Paul. All these people who were ministered to by Paul, the great effect that he had in their lives, he was not going to be there anymore to minister to them. He knew that. They understood that now spiritually. That Paul was going and he wasn't coming back. That he was going to be in chains. How will you be remembered by other Christians as the years go by? How will you be remembered? Will you be remembered affectionately as one who ministered in the body, as one who had a special place in the body of Christ, in that local fellowship? Will you be remembered affectionately? Because often spiritual heroes get tempted and spiritual heroes fall. I remember the story of the Black Sox scandal. How many remember the story of the Black Sox scandal? In 1919, the Chicago White Sox were in the World Series against the Cincinnati Reds. They threw the series. The reason they threw the series was because one of the greatest outfielders of the time, one of the greatest hitters of the time, not Ty Cobb or one of the others, but a guy named Shoeless Joe Jackson. Shoeless Joe Jackson was one of the greatest hitters of that time, and he, along with seven other Chicago White Sox, gave in to the temptations of the mob in Chicago at the time, Al Capone and all these other guys. See, the best salary that a professional ball player could get in those days was about $6,000 a year, which in that day was a good salary, of course. But they were offered $10,000 apiece, $80,000, if they would throw the World Series, because there was heavy betting on it, and the mob stood to win a lot of money if they threw the game. Well, Shoeless Joe he was a great hero of all the youth, all the children in Chicago, and he gave in to the temptation for the money, and the eight of them worked to throw that World Series. And everything seemed fine for a year, but then a year later, people were just wondering, how could they have lost? How could they have lost? And so there was a grand jury investigation, and they all went in, and they finally all confessed, and all eight of them were banned from baseball permanently. It's known now, you know, in the history of baseball as the Black Sox scandal. And Shoeless Joe, as he was walking out, there was a movie made about it called Eight Men Out. And as Shoeless Joe was walking from the grand jury room, the young fan was running behind him, grabbing on his coattail and crying out, "Say it ain't so, Joe. Say it ain't so." You see, if we commit to being spiritual heroes to one another as believers, then 20 years from now, we don't have to let others look at our spiritual life and say it ain't so. Say it ain't so. Jagged about the Navy SEALs, and there was an episode on a few weeks ago about Marines that had stolen the Declaration of Independence. When confronted, their concern was that the Declaration of Independence was being downtrodden by society and by our nation. We didn't hold dear the freedoms that we had. We were taken for granted, and the Declaration of Independence was laying on the ground, and nobody was defending it. Nobody was defending our true freedom. And so these ones, they took it. When confronted, the leader of the group said, "I saw the torch lying there, and no one was picking it up." Well, you know, there's a spiritual torch lying on the ground, and nobody's picking it up. And it's the spiritual heroes that need to pick it up and run with it. Heroes do what others won't. Heroes are willing to reach down and pick up that torch and run with it no matter what it costs them, because they're concerned about the others that will be affected by their lives. Will you be a spiritual hero? That's my call to commitment today. Choose today to be a spiritual hero. Choose today to be a spiritual hero so that others around you, so that others in the body and those that come after will be able to look at your life and will be able to say, "He or she picked up that torch and ran with it. And my life is better. And my life has been affected because of that." Will you be a spiritual hero? Will you make that commitment today?